In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to continue for quite a while reflecting on the Psalms. Most times before I actually get into an exegesis, I think it would be good to try to reflect. The Psalms were sung by monks in Coptic, in Latin, in Greek, in Hebrew, and they were prayer. Now, as we wandered from that, mostly because we have so many books, in those days, the monks had to know everything by heart. There weren't just enough books to go around. And it was in the early Pacomian monasteries, early in the day, the monks who were still new were spent time under the direction of somebody memorizing the Psalms. For most of us now, they're in a breviarium, an abbreviation of the whole prayer life for the week. But we read them to ourselves quietly, most of us. So long as the Psalms are and should be the backbone of our priestly life of prayer, we have to put out more effort to understand them. And that's why I'm going over these one by one, and I'm going to take more time than I have been up to now to reflect. I want to quote now Athanasius of Antioch, who was writing to his friend Marcellinus and pointing to the quality of the Psalms by which our minds and emotions are rectified and brought into deeper contact with the realities that are mediated there by the Word of God. Now, for most of us priests, we have them printed out. We read them as best we can. Some take more time. I can't change the whole custom of the Latin Church, but we should have time to know what we're doing. And so each time, the first 15 minutes is going to be dedicated to reflecting. Right now, I'm going to reflect on Athanasius's letter to Marcellinus. He's pointing out, I'm going to quote now, this quality of the Psalms by which our minds and emotions are rectified and brought into deeper contact with the realities that are mediated there by the Word of God. We say these Psalms, but do we have any notion of the contact with God for which they are the sacrament? It's hard for us, but I'm going to try to do that. And I'm also, as I do a psalm, I'm going to point out where it's found in the office of the Roman Church, mostly that for the diocesan priests, since Benedictines and others have their own disposition of the Psalms. Okay. So I'm going to read this quote again from Athanasius. But in the book of Psalms, the one who hears, in addition to learning these things, also comprehends and is taught in it the emotions of the soul, and consequently, on the basis of that which affects him and by which he is constrained, he also is enabled by the book to possess the image deriving from the words. And therefore, through hearing, it teaches not only to disregard passion, but also how one must heal passion. Passion in this sense is emotions that are out of order. It could be anger, lust, fear, or just jealousy or distraction. Be praying the Psalms in your mind is 100 miles away. You see, that's passion. Now, we need this medication because we usually read silently to ourselves, get the drift, but the words don't have. They're deprived of their full mode of existing, which is oral. Christopher Dawson speaks of our culture as, quote, detached from spiritual aims and values, end quote, faced with a spiritual crisis of the most acute kind, an atmosphere in which there is no spiritual sense of religion as an objective reality transcending our private experience. Another author adds, modernity in this light is a case of unbalanced growth, where the mentalities of secularism and technology are incapable of healing the broken unity of a previously spiritual culture. Romano Guardini speaks of the loss of an objective sense of belonging to existence, and again, the root virtues of earnestness and gravity grounded in truth. In other words, he's trying to point out how our praying of the Psalms, we bring handicaps to it. One, I think, is that we read it. If you're all alone, you might do that, or you could recite it. The Psalms are vocal. I think if we're going to continue in the priesthood to make the basis of our common daily prayer, the breviary, the abbreviation as is, we're going to have to learn to do something more with the Psalms. Reading them quietly to oneself doesn't always help. For instance, it is worth noting in this regard how strong is the insistence in the encyclical Fides et Ratio that an important aspect of our moving out of the dilemmas of modernity is to develop an interpersonal dimension of our knowledge of the truth. In other words, you know, whoever wrote those Psalms, we are experiencing them as we say them. In Fides et Ratio, number 12, we read, human perfection does not solely consist in acquiring an abstract knowledge of the truth. Rather, it finds its place in a living habit of self-giving and fidelity toward others. This is the encyclical. In this very fidelity in which a man learns how to give himself, he discovers full certainty and firmness of spirit. But at the same time, knowledge that comes through confidence and depends on interpersonal esteem is not given without reference to truth. A man, by believing, is committed to the truth which another has shown him. I'm trying to point out the cultural obstacles we have in profiting from our recitation of the office. And so, that's why I thought by going over the Psalm, all 150 of them, it might help understand this gift that is the Psalms. And so that's how I want to begin this. What I'm going to do is read a translation and comment on it. But we have to realize that this has got to be a personal work. I know many priests recite the Psalms out loud to keep themselves concentrated on what they're saying. And it does have a very powerful effect if you can do it. I'm also going to note when I do a psalm where it's found in the breviary. For instance, we're going to be doing Psalm 9 quite soon. Psalm 9 is Monday, week 1, the office of reading. Psalm 10 is Tuesday, week 1, the office of readings. Why? Well, because Psalms 9 and 10 are really one psalm. And so they belong, the office of readings, starting the day. And that there has to be this trust. Trust in God. Trust in the Holy Spirit who's given us these prayers. Trust in those who wrote them, David and others. I want to read now a little bit more of this, my reflections, before we start. In other words, studying the Psalms means undergoing a deep cultural change. The Psalms do that for us. Let me just read this. All-knowing beings implicitly know God in whatever they know. For just as nothing is desirable except as it bears a likeness to the first goodness, so nothing is knowable except as it bears a likeness to the first truth. Everything I'm looking at as I'm making this, a true camera, a true light, a true book, a true, you see, it's only knowable insofar as it bears a resemblance to the first truth. That's the great grace of these Psalms. But I think for many of us it means a whole other approach. And I haven't, maybe if I talk to some of the bishops, but I mean, we have this book, and most of us read it. We don't speak it. And that's fine. And my gosh, if you're on a bus or something, you don't want to. But there's a way that we have to realize how important it is to grasp that the whole person is meant to be expressing these words. As I say here in this particular, to move from an implicit knowledge of God to an interpersonal knowledge of Him requires faith, which is an entrusting of oneself to Him and an acceptance of what He says. When John Paul speaks in this way about interpersonal knowledge among human beings, saying it's super eminently true as well of our knowledge of God and our relation to Him. Quote, knowledge that comes through confidence and depends on interpersonal esteem is not given without reference to truth. A man, by believing, is committed to the truth which another has shown him. This is truth. And through a communion of persons, but this communion with God comes about through prayer. And so, I wanted to start off reflecting on this collection of prayers that we've been given to say every day.